Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com with your hosts, Maureen Hollering, Steve Frampton, Brenda McCoy, and Bobby Marcheso. During the second half of the show, call in to connect for a free psychic reading. Join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Maureen Hollerin, and you are listening to the Psychic Viewpoint sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Dr. Rahm Weber, psychic sexologist, will be joining us. But before we get started, please join me in welcoming my co-host, Steve. How are you tonight?
I am very well, thank you, Maureen. I've got my favorite coffee and a Rice Krispie treat.
Oh, yum. I make Rice Krispie treats here at home.
Well, you need to mail some to me.
I'll do that. I'll get right on it.
I'll email you my address.
Okay. So, Steve, what is it you do? Who are you?
Well, I am a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer. So I began with my mediumship, seeing people in spirit as a child and connecting with them telepathically as well. And then I studied hermetics and became very excited about hermetic astrology. I use tarot as well, but not as much as you do. I am still studying tarot with excitement.
Well, don't get too excited. Yes, Stephen, you are very good at what you do, and I do declare. So thanks. Thank you, Steve. Hi, Brenda. How are you this evening?
I'm good. My little garden is growing, and it's a beautiful day. It's not too hot today in California, you know?
I agree.
Beautiful. My corn is actually growing, and I have some zucchinis, so I'm all stoked about that.
How nice is that? I would trade the beach for your place.
Oh gosh.
Maybe we can swap one day. So Brenda, can you please tell us all what you do?
Well, I'm a predictive psychic. I specialize in dates, times, and places, and I work with all you lovely folks on PsychicAccess.com. And I use the tarot, and I also use the crystal ball and the playing cards. You know, those are what I usually use when I give my readings by phone.
And you're very good at it, too. Well, we've all heard your readings.
Thank you.
You're well. Well, it's true. Thank yourself. And we have Stephen. Hi, Stephen. How are you?
Hi. Good evening. I'm fine. Thank you. Hope you are as well. Hello to Brenda and Steve. I'm glad to be here with you guys tonight.
We're glad to have you, and you sound
right.
So wonderful.
So, thank you.
So, Stephen, can you tell everybody who you are, what you do?
Absolutely. Like my good friend and esteemed colleague, Steve, I am also a hermetic astrologer and a tarotist, a reader of tarot cards, a cartomancer, a reader of playing cards. Basically, if you have any sort of divinatory system laid out on laminated little cards, then, you know, I like to work with that. And what I do is, I focus on empowering my clients by forecasting their future, analyzing their past, and seeing how both of these pertain to their present. So in that respect, I'm sort of like an alchemist. I take my clients' lead, the vulgar base materials of their life, and using tarot and astrology, I try to spin some gold out of that for the client as best as I can.
And you do it well.
Thank you very much. It feels great to do that and be able to serve people in this way. And it's wonderful to be involved with so many talented psychics who are teaching me so many things.
You're lovely.
Thank you.
We don't pay you enough to say those nice things.
It's just wonderful to study these things. So
it's nice to have you with us.
Thank you.
Welcome. And my name is Maureen, and also I work over at PsychicAccess.com with everybody. I'm an empath tarot psychic, and I do what I do because I must, and I love my work. Okay, so anyway, Dr. Rahm Weber is an international psychic medium now in her 18th year of public work following an original academic training as a sex therapist. In the metaphysical world, Dr. Ram is well known for her spot-on evidential mediumship, cultivated by her attention to detail and her passion for connecting to loved ones. I'm excited. And hello, Dr. Ram. How are you?
Good evening, Maureen. Fine. How are you doing tonight?
Fine. I'm excited about you joining us. It's going to be lovely. I can't wait.
I am too.
Here you are. You know, I wanted to ask you something about what you did previously when, 18 years ago, you went to, which is a very interesting healing thing to do, go into the type of training of a PhD in sex therapist. What inspired you to do that?
That's interesting. You know, I think that originally my interest in it came from the fact that I began realizing from an early age two things. One is that people were very comfortable talking to me about personal concerns. And then as far as the topic of human sexuality is concerned, it really seemed like growing up in America here that we had our jobs and our meal planning and our hobbies and our vocations and our avocations and, our religious interest or not religious interest and so on and so forth. But sexuality as a topic was like put way over on the far side, and it was kind of it was kind of deregulated from the mainstream in so many ways. And I was curious about why this very essential part of human experience was treated with such kid gloves. You know, why were people having such difficulties with this, and why was there such taboo and so many different issues like that came up? So I decided to explore a degree in that where I would be able to counsel people and do research. And that's what I did. I started teaching in 1987, 88, very early. And then I got my PhD in 2000.
Well, it's interesting because do you think that maybe doing that, and what you're saying is it's interesting. I understand what you meant because it is kind of like shoved in a corner there. Did it led you to what your work is now, what your perhaps your life purpose, I guess?
Interestingly enough, I think it was an amazing career choice in and of itself, which I can still be active with, but as a stepping stone to metaphysical work, absolutely. And that's for a couple of reasons. One is that, of course, sexuality and the afterlife, which is often, death and dying, two very difficult things for people to talk about. So by the time I got to be a medium, I was already trained in how to handle these challenging issues and to be calm and to help relax the people that came to see me on a, talk communication basis, on a talk therapy basis. So that was part of it. And I think the other part of it, as far as human sexuality and mediumship goes, is that, for the longest time, the fields weren't crossing. I put up a real strong ethical wall because, when people come to see a sex therapist, they don't want to really hear a psychic reading or the other side. They're there to see you as an academic, a scientist, a professional. And when people consult me as a psychic or a medium, they're looking for an experience of spirituality, clarity, or connection with the other side. So as a sexologist, it's really inappropriate for me to put on that hat of the metaphysical world. But in the metaphysical world, there's nothing stopping me from taking a look at a person's sexual concerns or relationship concerns using my clairaudience, my clairsentience, and so on and so forth. I can bring those skills in and help them with their problem solving in that capacity too.
Yeah, that must be a real benefit, actually. I'm just thinking about it. Because, it's enlightening to me because it makes sense. Well, I didn't go to school for it, but it certainly does. Could you tell us, I wanted to ask you, what is a sitting? And, a lot of times we have psychic mediums. We've had people, mediumship and all that. But we never talk about it in the term, it is a sitting. It's like not a reading, it's a sitting. So what is a sitting like? A lot of people go, I went to a medium or I saw a medium. They never say, I went to a sitting. I've noticed that the wording sitting is not usually something, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but I don't know.
Actually, you're very accurate to pick up on that, and I thank you because I think your listeners are going to hear a lot of clarity and understanding coming out of this. In the UK, where I've trained and worked, they call it a sitting. And a sitting means an opportunity for mediumship between a client and a medium. And that client is called a sitter. unless we're doing platform mediumship, we're generally sitting down. But that's the phrasing that they use for it. Here in America, most of the time when we talk about psychic work and mediumship, what we're talking about is whether we are connecting with that client's energy or we're connecting with the energies of loved ones and spirit around them, or perhaps if other people are connecting with guides, angels, whatnot. It depends where the focus of that connection is. And what I saw was that on television, you would have mediums sometimes, and they would say, X, Y, and Z is getting read today, or I gave this one a reading. And I think it became a little confusing because when I say, well, do a demonstration, and I have people come in an audience type of situation, you know, we have a gallery style demonstration, people are often confused and they think I'm reading their energy. And that's the last thing I want to do when I'm working with the spirit world. I want to connect with the energy of people who have passed on. So sometimes it's easier to call it a sitting to help people understand that unless I'm doing psychic work or intuitive work and I'm centering on their personal concerns, my focus is on contacting those who have passed on to spirit.
Yeah, I like that. I like how you explain that. That, I think, really clarifies it a lot. And I agree. When you know, there's four of us on here, and when the co-host, he's English. He's English. Steve, aren't you? He's in the background listening. I know he is. And he's a medium as well. And anyway, sitting is more appropriate. Can you tell us what kind of information would come through during, if I came to you for a sitting, or I would actually be probably looking to perhaps, I know that you do galleries and a lot of things, you know, in front of people, groups. But if I was to come personally, what would I be seeking out? Obviously, to connect with somebody that I miss, that passed away, or so. What kind of information comes through during a sitting, or what can I expect? What could you expect?
Usually, to start off, is I would do what I would call a tune-in. I might have somebody give me a topic in their lives, just they feel that. They can just start relaxing to the session. So we might do that for a few minutes. Maybe they've got a concern about their job or a family member or something like that. It's not always necessary, but if a person's coming to see a medium for the first time, they can be a little bit nervous sometimes. And they're also nervous because they can be worried about getting emotional. So the first thing that I want to do is help them get a little settled. And then I also spend a few minutes reading off a list of what I call talking points. And that's to help people understand that really anybody who's passed on can come through. So some people have a belief that if a person's passed on for a day, they can't come through. Or if they died before the client was born, they can't come through. Or if they didn't like the person, they can't come through. And so people walk in with a lot of preconceived ideas that I haven't found to be true. So we want to get that out of the way. So that's like the first 5 minutes or so of the session. After that, what I'll do is I will tune in and I will begin to notice the faintest little perception usually of a spirit communicator drawing near, or we say coming close, drawing near, beginning to resonate with that energy, detect it. And the way I like to explain it is like just as if it was like a little piece of dental floss or a gossamer thread, and then over a period of time, as I get information relayed to me that I communicate to my sitter, that connection gets closer and closer. We call it blending with the spirit. And we want to establish as deep of a blend as we can because that makes our work more accurate. And so at that point, it's really a conversational experience, usually in one direction, mostly. I'm going to receive information from the spirit communicator, and then I'll give that to the client, and I will check to make sure that they understand the information as it's coming through. But back to your other question about the specific kind of information that comes through, because I know a lot of people are curious about that, it's quite wide-ranging. You can get things like health conditions prior to their passing. You can get things in the client's life that the spirit communicator is aware of from the afterlife, which can be as recent as on their way to the session or maybe a major life event. So they can call out that. They can call out names of other people that they are there in spirit with. They can make references to people that have been born since they've passed on. So sometimes like that. They can give messages that are topically relevant. And then we can also get things like where they live, some of their names, who they're connected to, and the relationship to the client. So lots of different kinds of information can come through.
That's incredible. You know, so when a person's there, do they Well, or you actually? So if you were to prepare to see something, I know you talked about going in with these ideas. So a lot of people do have those ideas. You know, they just passed away, or they didn't like them. You know, and all those other things. That's really untrue. There's no rules with whatever is what you're saying, and so you relax people and get that out of the way. But as far as should they bring something, or what should they do to prepare? I mean, do you tape this, or is there something that you bring, you know, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. I have to update my website, because in the beginning I had made a suggestion that you know, people might want to bring an object, because way before I got into this, the first thing that I really had skill with was psychometry. So I could hold on to an object, and that object would be imprinted with a particular person's energy. And I find right now that's pretty much no longer my style of work. I'm pretty much just connecting directly with spirit there. And that is the preferred method, if possible. Not everybody works like that, but there's no reason we can't work like that, I should say. And so what I encourage people to do is bring a friend. That I would say, I do lots of people one-on-one, but what happens is the information can come through so quickly that the person I'm working with is like a deer in the headlights. Like, their brain can't process quickly enough how much information is coming through. I mean, we can slow it down, but for somebody, especially if they're not expecting that kind of accuracy and they're hearing one thing after another, you know, they get a little frozen sometimes. So, you know, bring a friend, bring a family member, bring a stenographer, for crying out loud. But bring some notes. Bring some notes. They're free to audio record if they want to as well. You know, I'm wide open with that. What is really important, though, is that you have some notes or a friend with you or something to jot down, because as the information comes through, my God, they can forget their next of kin. They can forget their own name, you know? Calling and working with a client, and her middle name is Mary, and I'll say, you know, I've got a client in spirit that's making reference to Mary, and it feels like it's a second part of a three-part name. You know, your client will look at you like, I don't know any Marys.
Yeah. And they'll think back later, of course they do, they're probably the sister. You know, have you ever had anybody really, I'm just kind of curious, that, you know, it's interesting because what you do, I have a lot of respect for. But some people want to go and just kind of, you know, they're curious. They're not going to take it real seriously because they don't, whatever their, you know, their judgments are or whatever. And then they freak out. They may freak out.
Well, let's see. A couple of different things. One is that as a medium, I work with a guarantee. And my guarantee is that I can bring through someone clearly that they can recognize, or I haven't done my job. So that means that they need to be on the receiving end of that information and be able to say, yes, I recognize this person, I understand them, and you're bringing them through in a distinct way. So that's part of the job. And I would say that out of every couple of hundred people, those two sessions might end every now and then. It's very rare, honestly. So you do get some people that want to test, and
silly.
Say this. One thing that is really hard for people to pick up sometimes is this concept that we cannot conjure a particular spirit up. And if that spirit, if much desire, does come through and I can clearly identify them, I also don't have the ability to control what they're going to give me. All right. Mm-hmm. So what I'll have is I'll have somebody come in and they'll say, I want to talk to my mother and I want her to tell me about, you know, my love life. Well, good luck. That might happen. Indeed, mom might come through for the entire session and her messages may only concern the person's love life. But I can't make that happen. I can tune in and I can give the information, and that's the extent of my mediumistic ability. We can try asking questions once that really strong connection is made, and sometimes that does work. But the way it's been said to me is you don't go to a dinner party and bring the menu.
Right.
So a lot of times people need to be a little bit more open when they come. And if I'm getting the name right and I'm getting the condition right, and, you know, you're like getting like 90%, 95% accuracy. And because the medium doesn't say the one thing they came here to hear, they don't buy it.
Right.
And that's a lost experience for what does come through.
It's interesting. I'm just keep thinking about Did you hear all that noise that was just going on, Dr. Rom? Did you hear that noise? There's someone trying to come in now. I don't know. I just heard all this gurgling. So, you know, the more and more just thinking and reflecting back on the original asking about what is sitting, because, you know, people get close to people that die and they want. Well, I want to ask you, I guess, when is there a time frame? I know I said before maybe there's no rules, but is there a time frame that somebody should wait or you know, before maybe seeking a sitting from you? Called.
Yeah, hi, I'm back.
Oh, great. Thank you. I don't know what was going on there, but, you know, it's always something good. So okay. I'm sorry. I didn't get that. I didn't get to hear, or I don't know what anybody else did. Like, I don't know what you heard on your end, but it was really hard to hear what I asked you and what you were explaining. Could you?
Not a problem. Why don't Thanks. You just go back to the last question you did hear, and we'll start from there, because I was able to hear everything.
You were okay. Yeah, that's yeah. Right. I was asking about, is there, although I know you mentioned there's, you know, there's not a lot of rules, but would you say that you would give some advice to somebody that just, let's say someone just had died real mm-hmm. recent. I mean, do you encourage people to wait, or does it really right. matter before okay. they come for a sitting?
So what I'll do is I'll just go back to as I began that response. What I'd like to start off with it by saying is this. I've struggled with this question a lot. I'm not a grief counselor. I'm not a mental health professional, and I'm not a psychologist. And in the state of New York, where I live and where I work out of, psychic and mediumship work, when it's done outside of a church-type environment, is considered for entertainment purposes only. So we can be spot-on accurate, but that's the laws of the state. So when you put those two things together, I'm careful. And I've decided over the years that it's really up to the client to decide for themselves when they'd be ready for that kind of communication. Because, frankly, if somebody comes in and they're highly emotional, it can be very difficult for them to receive the information. So I would say that the person could work with that in accordance with their own spiritual beliefs, with their own sense of where they are in the process of, you know, grieving. And what experience of grief has it been for them? For example, I had a client whose dad came through in a session, and she was so happy to hear from him. And he came through with such clarity and so much factual information and just went on and on for, I think, the entire hour. And I said to her at the end, because he never said how long he'd been passed on. So I said, you know, your dad's a great spirit communicator, he's got all this energy coming through. And she said, well, you know, we buried him yesterday. So it can be like that, and it can be somebody who has been grieving for years and years, you know, on the other hand, might not feel emotionally ready for that experience. So I leave it with the client.
Yeah, that I do understand what you're saying about that and entertainment. Well, we, you know, because we all do this work, and that's so true. So really, you know, it depends on the person. And do you find that, do people have certain expectations?
About? Hello?
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, I got you. I got you now.
Okay. Maybe it's my dad. I've been waiting for him to come through. But you know, that's another thing I wanted to ask you about. I'm going to go in this direction with you first. Have you found, because of the work you do, that anybody close to you, if you have experienced this, I'm just assuming perhaps we all have, but has, you know, died. Is it difficult for you to connect with them?
I want to say yes and no, and let me explain both sides. The yes is, if you were my client and we were sitting for a mediumship demonstration, or a sitting, if you will, and I'm bringing through somebody you know and you love, and I bring through 10 pieces of information, chances are right then and there, you're going to be able to confirm or validate everything with a yes, no, or sometimes a maybe I need to do more research. But if we're getting the person, it's going to be spot on, and it's going to be there, and you're going to be able to validate it. With my own people who've passed on to spirit, I can get the same quality of information, but because it's an internal validation process, it's a lot harder for me to buy, even right. though it's equally as effective. And I'll give you an example. I have a friend that passed on within the last year. She was a very close friend, and she was, as much can be said, prepared for her passing. She consulted with people from many spiritual traditions. She read nonfiction books all the way to the end about what might happen. And to the extent that she could, she accepted it and went on peacefully. With that said, she, of course, said to me, "Hey, Ram, I've known you for years. I know you're a medium. And if there's any way I can come back, you know, we'll do it." So we said that we would, you know, meet again. I was preparing for a different client, maybe about 4 weeks later. And right before my client walks in, I engage in a meditative practice. And there's usually a chair for my client right in front of me, or perhaps a couch. And I open my eyes and there's my friend. I got the biggest shock because I saw them as clearly as I saw, you know, as I see people for my clients. And I've seen her several times since. And sometimes it's funny and sometimes it's more in an advisory type role. But I think that's starting to shift for me now. I'm starting to get a little bit more comfortable with my own people. But yeah, it's harder. We don't have that validation the same way. So I go to other mediums.
Yeah, well, that's true. I mean, it's like you can be real objective and everything else. Or, well, that's the way I look at it. But, you know, I have a lot of respect for what you're saying, actually, because – but I think it's kind of really neat that you're seeing your friend, like, right there, like in a physical form is what you're saying, right?
For me, when I perceive objectively and visually, I perceive like a hologram, if you will. That's the best way to say it. If you remember when there was Star Wars, I'm thinking, and I believe it was a Princess Leia that you saw on the beam, the tractor beam there.
Yeah.
Pardon me, I'm not really up on my sci-fi here.
I know
what I'm talking about. It's the idea of an image that, you know, is solid enough that you can discern them in full color, but in my experience, isn't a body. Now, here's the thing. Everybody sees differently, right? So she could have come that way in my mind's eye where we daydream, and it would have been just as accurate to me. What was a little shocking was that I saw her taking the form in the chair.
Yeah, that must have been cool.
it was great to see. I mean, when you have somebody you love, that's the thing. Everybody feels, let me take that back. Mediumship has often been presented as something that you do with the lights off in a spooky environment. And it's given the word seance, which in French just means meeting, a really bad name. So in my work, one of the things I'm hoping to do is to continue to say, hey, you know what? This is a reunion. This is a celebration. And we can do it in the bright light of day, outside, or with the air conditioner on, you know, and have your tea and coffee and whatnot. You know, it's that positive environment that works for me when I work either one-on-one or with a group.
Right. It's not, you can be out in the garden. You could be at the beach or something like that. And
sure.
That's lovely. I like that because that is true. People get an idea that it's going to be all the hoochie-coochie candles burning and everything.
And they're expecting the scarves and the long earrings. Yeah,
exactly. Well, don't you wear that stuff?
Privately.
Well, you know, you do readings. I know you do you can do it over the phone or Skype as well with people.
Mm-hmm. I had a hard time accepting that would work at first, to be honest with you. A former mentor, Dr. Karen Lundegaard, who was a psychologist and a medium, and therefore that she understood the academic and the metaphysical background too, so she was a great mentor to me. She was the one that suggested it could be done by phone, and so that was the first time that I took some steps in that direction. And then I saw it work consistently by phone, and then I saw it work consistently by Skype, and then I've seen it work by text, like an instant relay chat. That's worked a couple of times, and now what I'm hoping to, and heck, who knows, maybe in conjunction with Psychic Access. But what I really like to do is a format on radio where you can have 12, 20 different callers on the line all at once. And it can be like a virtual seance with them all together. Because a lot of these shows are going, you know, one reading after the other after the other. And sometimes our loved ones and spirits kind of jump the line. So I'd really like to see if that would too. So I always feel like it's fun to push the limits of what can happen because, you know, really,
that's a good idea.
Yeah. Thank you. If you want to do it, I'm game. So first person, get me on that. But
that's a great idea. You know, I find working in this work too, you know, we're all asked about the same thing. I used to think, well, how could you ever, you know, in the early 90s it started, you know, just through the phone or whatever. And I thought, how could that be done? But that's what the good old technology is you're able to do it. It's somehow it's workable.
Yes, it is.
It is really workable. You know, what about I know that you do you said talked about gallery. So you're talking about how we see John. Well, I see John Edwards. I guess he's the first person pops in my mind. I know there's other people out there, but so you do like large audience.
Yes. I work in many different capacities. I did a gallery demonstration last night in Manhattan. I'll be doing another one in Cleveland this Saturday. And these are different events. I do them either by myself or with other mediums, and we split the time. And what it is, it's an opportunity to have that experience of mediumship in a group session. And many people will receive messages, generally not everybody in attendance, because there's only so many mediums and so many hours and so forth. But we try to bring through as many people as we can. And it brings through a taste of the experience. And it's kind of a different experience because those groups give like a battery. It can be very high energy and people can laugh and they'll carry on and have a good time. And, you know, as their people and spirit come through, you know, they really, their characters get known. So, you know, in a half hour in, we're going to know that's Aunt Lucy over there. And that's, you know, Cousin Joe on the other side. And you'll hear them kind of go back and forth through the different mediums. So it's a lot of fun.
So, you know, the mediumship is like you're saying how you see, you get your information. And so you work with others that will get theirs differently.
For me, I'm very much clairvoyant. So through my perception, my visual perception, so either seeing objectively or seeing inside my mind's eye, that's my primary sense. I also feel and have an experience of direct knowledge. So those are my three primary senses. But I got a lot of things musically too, because I have a musical background. So I'll get parts of songs. But usually pictures and images is my strongest. And then as far as other people, I can tell you there's people I work with that have completely opposite and complementary skills to me where we don't overlap at all, but the quality of the information is just as good.
Right. And it's nice that you can all, everybody can fuse together and come, I mean, that's, you know, and I wanted to ask you about this. Do you, your point of view, or, you know, how you see things. See things, no pun intended. Do you think mediumship is something that is learned or something that we're just born with, or can anyone learn it?
We forget and we remember again. And I say it like this because a lot of people will have the experience of seeing a very young child who's never met grandpa in the afterlife because grandpa passed before they were born. And they'll walk in on that kid talking to the spirit of grandpa. Something like that. I hear that a lot. And what I also see a lot is people who are in their late stages of life, perhaps they're in hospice or in a situation where, you know, they're dealing with their final days. And not only will they begin talking to people that nobody else can see, but, you know, it'll be recognized by a caregiving staff, hospitals, hospices, family members will notice it. And so without effort, there's these two parts of life, the beginning and the end, that people regularly observe people of all different religious and spiritual backgrounds having contact with the afterlife. And then there's all that time in the middle. So for me, I feel, are we all born mediumistic, psychic, intuitive? Absolutely. But I think that making the effort to refine it, to unfold it, to develop it is a choice.
I agree with that. Oh, I'm losing you again. Can you hear me, Dr. Rom? This is interesting. I can't hear you.
I can hear you.
I can't hear you. I can hear you now. Gosh, that's just interesting. Usually we don't have this. There, you know, I'll take responsibility for it. It's all that PK energy going on. You know, I wanted to ask you about what's your idea between, or what's your point of view between a psychic and a medium? We've talked about this all before, but I agree with what you're saying about, I think we're all born as well with, I mean, we come into this world with our wits. We get conditioned, unfortunately, and get taken out of it. But so what's your view on the difference?
Here's how I look at it. I like to reclaim the word psychic because psychic and intuitive I find are quite similar. And they refer to the channels of perception we all have. those channels would be complementary to our regular senses. So when we talk about psychic and intuitive senses, we're talking about the channels of seeing with the mind's eye, hearing with the mind's ear, having that gut feeling, having that set of knowledge, the awareness, right? And in my understanding, as far as dictionary definitions, the big difference is that if you call it intuitive, you're not depending on those channels being there because of the presence of the solar spirit. But if you're using the word psychic, you're recognizing the idea of a solar spirit connected with those channels. There's a lot of situations in which you can teach people the same skill set and call it intuition because they don't need to buy into a religious or spiritual philosophy. Those skills are still available to them. If you call it psychic, sometimes that word can be charged for people, but again, it refers to the same skill set. So those are two skill sets, two perceptions. Mediumship uses the skill sets, the channels of perception, the psychic channels of perception, the intuitive channels of perception, except the focus now is on people who have passed on. And also my experience of the two is a little bit different in that psychic to me, intuitive work that feels very grounded, whereas with mediumistic, we feel like we're vibrating a little bit higher. We feel like our energy is going upwards and outwards. There's a little bit of a difference there when we're working. And people can often see it. They can get a sense of that too. So to me, I agree with the people who say all mediums are psychic because we're all working those channels of perception. But not necessarily all psychics are mediumistic. Maybe they have not, for whatever reason, develop or apply those channels of perception to the spirit world. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes. That makes a lot of sense to me. In fact, I concur with that, what you're saying. Very much so. You know, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. We're going to take a short break from our sponsor, psychicaccess.com, and we'll be back.
A new era in psychic services has begun. Psychicaccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com?
And we're back with Dr. Ram. And we're having a great I'm having a great time interviewing you. And I wanted to know, and forget about what you were talking about, Stephen, but on the break. But sorry. So Dr. Ram, you're a psychic and a medium. Because like you just you just kinda explained it. And I agree with that. If you're a medium, you're a psychic.
Yeah. And pretty I offer that. Both skill sets, both types of
readings.
Exactly. Because some people want one and some people want the other. And for the longest time, I was only doing mediumship work because, you know, I was really enjoying all the validation from that. You know, you can get a real strong sense of your accuracy when you're doing mediumship. Whereas with psychic work, especially if they're looking at past, present, future, trends, possibilities, solutions, you don't always know what's going to happen. You have to trust what comes out of your mouth, that you're perceiving the information in the same way.
Yes, I agree with that too. You know, do you, when you were younger, do you remember before, you know, usually till you age by 10, I think it is, usually conditioning set in.
Mm-hmm.
Before that time, do you remember being able to connect or see spirit at that time?
Sure.
You know?
An invisible friend like every kid does, you know, very reliable. And it was neither encouraged nor discouraged by my family, but rather looked as something pretty neutral. I don't think it was anything one way or the other. But I didn't really have spirit contact with, you know, relatives that had passed on or anything like that. What I had mostly was I had an uncanny way of understanding people. And sometimes that would be way in advance of my social relationship to them. That was problematic in the beginning. It's like being able to just get somebody and you've barely met them. And I had to learn to work that. That was definitely a learned skill. But as far as, like, you know, kid stuff goes, not really.
Not really. I was really raised to be an academic, and so I was I went kindergarten to PhD nonstop.
Yeah, it's in the environment you thrive in and such, where kids are allowed to. Not that you had a bad environment, I'm saying, but the scientific area, I get what you're saying. What would you do if I wanted to say, I'd like to learn how to develop my mediumistic abilities?
Sure. Well, you know, I don't mean to sound like a broken record with anybody, but the meditation is key, because you need to find a way to quiet the mind in order for the thoughts of others to channel through you. That's really important. So it doesn't really matter which technique you use. But one thing you need to do is you need to develop a skill to quiet your mind for a minute, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and in my case, 2 hours. Really important. So sample a lot of different meditation methods and find something that works. That doesn't mean sitting in complete silence 45 minutes. That's not everybody's cup of tea. Maybe there's visualization exercises. Maybe there's breathing techniques. There's so forth. I've got some of these listed on my website. But the thing is, sample a couple different kinds, find out what works for you, and find out what consistently works. Because in my training, what we learn how to do is we learn to jump into that frame of mind within seconds. It's not something you really want to do in seconds. You'd rather have 5 or 10 minutes to start moving your mind into the spiritual mindset. But that's part of it. Another technique I like to teach people, just I'll give you two quick ones. One is you can just focus on a spot on the wall. And when you start daydreaming, you can start recognizing that's your mind switching into the alpha dominant rhythm. And that's good for psychic work. So the moment you capture that sense of daydreaming, that's when you're mentally relaxing. So that's the first part in. Another thing you can do, I like to use as a technique, is who is the thinker behind your thoughts? You kind of wrap your head around that a little bit and you start moving away from your personal mind. And that helps out a lot. But it's a process. You know, it's not something that just happens overnight. And it takes mediumship a heck of a lot of trial and error to develop your accuracy. Because all of it is self-trust.
Well, also, it takes a lot out of you, doesn't it?
Too. And now it charges me. Quite honestly.
Go ahead. No, a lot of times, I mean, you can get physical illnesses. I mean, if you're not grounded, if you're doing this work, I mean, it's because there's, you know, energy's energy. You're picking up a lot of energy.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to learn how to let the idea of universal energy flow through you and out rather than using your personal energy reserves. Learn that technique, too. It's very important.
You know, have you ever come across anybody that came to first sitting and then let's say, because you're open, you know, it's almost like your channel's open, your station's open for business, and that somebody's coming through that's an unwanted guest?
Oh, oh yeah. And that can be funny, and let's talk about that a little bit. There are situations in which a person in spirit left a lifetime of situations like they were abusive, in maybe a physical way, a sexual way, an emotional way, a verbal way. Maybe they had a criminal record that they passed on with. So maybe they passed on either serving time or not serving time. Maybe there was a big family argument, all these types of things. Somebody didn't get along. Somebody didn't like you. They say the in-laws and the outlaws, right? So you've got situations like this. And while I cannot conjure those people up, they come through. Chances are they have a message to bring through, and chances are it's, I'm sorry. So what I can do is, once I relay enough information from them that the sitter is then going to recognize them, I can cut off that communication if the sitter would prefer not to hear from them. It's just really important the sitter recognizes them so I can move on to the next spirit communicator. And it's their choice if they want to hear from them, and they want to hear this person often talk about how they remember their life and what kind of an impact they had on someone else. It's really up to the sitter whether or not they want to choose to hear that.
Right. That makes sense, too. That makes a lot. So that's you give a lot of respect for the person, whoever, the individual that, and if the sitter wants to hear it or not. Most of the time you think they'd want to, maybe, but and then you move on, is what you, so it's really about actually how important it is, like you're saying, really to do this kind of work, you have to really be prepared. And meditation, right, like you said.
Right. I think it's really important to recognize that, yes, we are serving the spirit world as mediums. We are communicating what they communicate to us, but respect goes in all directions.
Right. So where would I learn more about mediumship or how to find, let's say I was seeking out to find a particular medium. Can you give me any suggestions about how we go about that?
A lot of different ways. One thing is that we have a couple of great organizations in the United States and abroad. One is the National Spiritualist Association of Churches, and abroad also, and internationally we have the Spiritualist National Union. So there are a couple of bodies, by no means the only spiritualist organizations, but those are two main ones that can help people locate classes and services and mediums and that kind of thing. I also like to just recommend word of mouth, because if I give somebody a session that they're pleased with, chances are the next person I'm working with is going to be the referral. So that's a big part of it. People really want to know that you can do it. You say you do, I'd say. And then as far as other ways of learning about it, I would strongly advise finding more than one teacher, because what I've found over the years is each teacher brings a different tool to the toolkit. And maybe one teacher is going to be great explaining platform mediumship, and another teacher is going to be great explaining how to deepen that link with spirit. Or another speaker is going to talk to you about your presentation skills and how much you can give to somebody before you need to give them some airspace to process that mentally. So there's so many different things we can learn from different teachers. I don't think anybody's got, you know, they can find everything in one person. I think that, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will come, and that may be one teacher for life, but it's more likely to be several.
Right. I like a collective, the collectiveness of it all. That makes sense. You know, I wanted to ask you, I've been on your website. In fact, your website is on the, for everybody, it's on the, your guest page, which will be on there forever. And it's at www.communicationsinspirit.com, correct?
Yes.
And so you have a fantastic website. It's very informative, everybody. And I suggest, do you also have your events on there, certain areas where you're going to be listed as well?
The information can be found on the website, and also I have a Facebook page at Dr. Rom Weber Spiritual Medium, and so I post to both. The website's in the process of being updated a bit now, and I also have a newsletter, so you can just email me at drromweber@gmail.com. I can get you on the newsletter list too, so people like communication in a couple different forms.
Are you going to be coming out to California anytime soon?
I miss it so. I was there for years.
Oh, really? Yeah, that's right. Well, Brenda's living here too. The other two guys don't. But I wanted to ask you as well. Do you ever pick up on anything like, you know, you were talking about something at the very beginning when someone comes through and they don't, you know, during that time they might bring up some information. Maybe a child was born, or at the time of death, that wasn't the case within the family or something. How do you feel about your point of view about the fact of maybe somebody has, I know this isn't a show about reincarnation or anything. I'm not saying all I know is what I know. I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. But how do you feel about somebody that might have come back, or if that's even part of what your thought process might be, that might come back that still you can connect with on the spirit how they were before? Do you follow me?
Yes, absolutely. Thought, and here's where I am with it now. Again, I'm not trying to convince anybody of my beliefs, but let me share my perspective from working in a mediumistic capacity. So people will say, if a relative is reincarnated, how can they still talk to me? Right? That's it. They're off in a different life. And over time, I've taken this perspective that reincarnation may not be so linear. I think of it more like an octopus, if you will. And the idea that everybody's got that central core and that we have tentacles kind of going out into different lives. It's a different way of explaining it. In theosophy as a tradition, they call a similar idea the monad. And it's the idea that we descend through layers and layers and layers of dimension until an incarnation into the life as we know it. And so my sense is that it makes more sense to me that we're probably living in more than one place at more than one time, and we're gathering information, and maybe those senses of deja vu and vuja de are coming because we are actually living like that, or that we are getting information from another perspective, another dimension. What I am assured of is this: in spirit, time is not how we see it here. That much I'm sure of. And I think that when we talk about doing work with the spirit world, we have to loosen up our idea of linearity just a bit, because I don't think that's how they see it.
I like that. I like your perspective. I think that's very – I like that. I never thought about things like, or thought about it in that way. I really like how you explain that as well. Makes sense to me. Makes sense to me. Like I said, I don't use the word believe. I don't know why. I always say all I know is what I know. But I like that, your perspective on that. I think that's very – it makes sense to me. You know, I hate to say this. We have to say goodbye to you. We're at the end of the interview. I could interview you forever, for a long time. You've been lovely and really informative, and I really appreciate you coming on the show here. And I do want to, if there's anything else you'd like to say to anybody, or you know, last words, last words before we go.
Sure. Just like to give a pitch out to anybody who's going to be in Cleveland on Saturday. We've got two mediums at large radio show live at the West Shore Unitarian Universalist. That's Saturday, May 18th with a 7:30 p.m. start, door 7. And you can reach us there at the website called twomediumsatlarge.com for advanced ticketing. That will be a gallery style demonstration with myself and three other mediums. We've all been radio show hosts and guest hosts on Two Mediums at Large. So we're taking it
fantastic.
Live.
That's fantastic. That sounds like fun, but I'm not going to be in Cleveland, but that still sounds like fun. Wow, that does sound like fun. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Rom, for joining us. And again, everybody on our website, on psychicaccesstalkradio.com, we'll have your websites available, and you can read about her bio on there as well. And I check out the website. It's great. It's very informative. I did. I loved it. So thank you so much, and have a great time this weekend.
Thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure being on. I really appreciate the opportunity to come and talk with Psychic Access Talk Radio.
Thank you, Dr. Ron. We appreciate having you.
All right. Have a good night.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. You know, I forgot to ask my lovely co-host if he had any questions for her. How rude. But that was – but that's me.
That's okay.
I know. I'm sorry.
We know you, Maureen. No, I'm kidding.
I know. Well, okay. Hi to everybody in the chat room, all those people. Anyways, I really liked her. I liked her. She was lovely to interview. I liked her way.
I liked her too.
Yeah, I bet. Okay, well, I'd like to take a moment to make a few announcements. So be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics here. We will announce the call-in number later in the show, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. You can have a pencil or a crayon, doesn't matter. Now, if you were unable to catch our show last week, a fantastic show on psychic attack defense, which was Stephen's show, you will find a recorded archive link as well as archives of all previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. So please feel free to circulate that archives link and future show details to your friends and family and their pets and pals. It's our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. And also, please be sure to visit our psychicbloggers.com site. It's fantastic. You can learn about everything from paranormal reincarnation to the how-tos of psychic development, psychic psychologists, everything. It's a really great site and accumulated a lot of great story, a lot of great things, bloggers. So if you're interested in a reading from the best professional psychics on the net, go to psychicaccess.com where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics. each with their own unique gifts. Each psychic has a detailed profile as well as a video introduction, which I think is a very lovely feature, by the way, for you to find out more about them and to choose from the list of some of the most authentic gifted psychics around. And it's been an honor working with Doug. Sorry, I live at the beach. There's probably some Harley noise. Or maybe something coming through. Anyway, it's been an honor. Well, I still am working, so I'm honored to work with Doug in Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic that he expects. And we sure deliver it, I think. So all of the co-hosts here on Psychic Access Talk Radio .com work at psychicaccess.com. So if you would like a personal reading from any one of us, be sure to visit us at psychicaccess.com. We would just love to hear from you. And also, site owners and webmasters can earn 50 cents a minute on every reading on traffic that is referred to psychicaccess.com. So for more details, please visit psychicaccess.com/webmasters. So if you like our show again, please invite your friends to join in our chat room. You know, our chat room is actually by far the best I've ever myself experienced. Not that I experienced a lot, but I've experienced a few. And so please, you know, have them come on in, and because we interact with you guys. We have a lot of fun. And spread the word. We'd appreciate it. So I'm going to give the call-in number now. And if somebody can, well, I can put it in the chat room. I'm always good for that. And so the number is 724-444-4851. The lines will not be open till around 9:17 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, which was around 6:17 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Just saying. So don't even try it. Okay. So now it comes to the... Oh, I do want to say this, too, just one more thing regarding the calls. I would like to say happy anniversary to us, to the show. We're going on to our fourth year, and including Doug as well. I'm the same one that's been here for all this time. I don't know why or how I've been able to stay on or why they've kept me on, but I'm here to say. And so I say, Doug, happy going on the fourth year. It's fantastic. You know, time goes by so quickly, doesn't it? So also, I'll read that later. Anyway, now we have our banter. We're going to have fun time between ourselves, you know, doing our little banter dance. And here All we
right.
go.
Is it going to be banter or ranter?
No ranting.
Okay.
In fact, Stephen, we're going to start with you.
Oh, wow. Why don't we?
So what did you think? What did you think about? Because you're not known as a medium.
No, I'm not. So yeah. I listened with extra special detail and attention because I wanted to, you know, perhaps pick up on something that I could do for myself, you know, to enhance my own mediumistic capabilities, which are negligible right now. And I liked what she said about the meditation, even though, you know, she stressed that. And it seems like it would be sort of self-explanatory, but meditation is hard to do it properly. I like what she said about meditation. And more importantly, I like what she said about not only about sort of cataloging the different voices and respondents that are in your head, you know, who all is speaking in my head and who all is listening. You know, I like that train of thought.
Yeah, I liked how she said that too. You know, also I thought it was interesting that it's interesting that she pursued an academic and then had a degree.
Yes.
Attained a degree, PhD for sex therapy, which is actually, you know, it's interesting because she made some really good sense about how that is always pushed to the corner of things, and how she talked about her work now. And you know, everybody, she's been doing this, I guess she's on her 18th year, so she's been doing this professionally as a medium for quite a while. But I liked how she said it's not like everybody would think. Steve would probably appreciate this too, because he's a medium and going into a ooh la la, well actually my house is like that, ooh la la, with a bunch of candles when it's all dark, you know, it could be like you're sitting outside or at the beach doing your sitting and such. I just think it's, I bet she was a great sex therapist as well. I'm sure she was. Absolutely.
Yeah, I would have been interested in that part of the program.
I know you would have. We all know.
We didn't get to that part of the program.
So, Brenda, did we not get into that part of the program you wanted to go into?
Well, you know what? She was an excellent guest. She talked mostly about her mediumship, but I was curious about, I would have liked to have heard a little bit more about, and I'm just throwing this out there, about, well, she's a sexologist, but how perhaps there were some ties between what brought her into that and if she was working on a patient in her mediumship and some of that stuff comes through. You know what I mean? I was waiting to hear, but maybe, I mean, I don't know. It was the meditation aspect, I agree with Stephen. It's the key to everything. It really is. Everything that we do, you have to figure out a way of clearing your mind so you can open up. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
But I was a little bit that was a thing about the sex therapy thing. I mean, I kind of wanted to hear a little bit more about that, but that's okay.
You should have asked that. You know, she did bring up, she touched on it for a moment. She was talking about how she couldn't wear her academic hat into her medium. She found, but she can wear both when she does her mediumship. She was talking, but we just braised on, is that the word braise? Like, what am I, a farmer?
I would be curious because I do past life regressions. Mm-hmm. And I would have been curious to hear on some of the levels how, different people, like different lovers, could have brought certain things into people's lives, and maybe that was something that they were drawn to from a past, like behaviors and things like that.
I know. I stayed away from that stuff just because I didn't.
But we didn't have to get nasty. Okay?
Another thing that interests me is of course the pathology behind it. A lot of people, for a lot of people, sex therapy is absolutely no joke. They are dealing with some serious personality disorders and serious mental diseases and serious organic diseases of the sexuality.
Well, and then that could have, and what she does, this is just, I was reading between the lines here, is probably, if she's got different clients or patients that are going through something like that, and they're wondering why she could get in touch with it through her mediumship.
Well, as an astrologer and a tarot reader, I'm always interested in those astrological signatures that foretell of what the psychologists call a sexual paraphilia and what the old timers might call a perversion,
a pervert.
Yeah, absolutely. There are definitely astrological signatures for that sort of behavior in a person's natal chart.
A newspaper Johnny? No, I'm kidding.
Is Steve there? Hello, Steve.
Yeah, I was just going to say something.
Jump in.
Yeah, I was going to say something in response to your comment, Stephen, about mental illness and also criminal tendencies.
I am all ears.
Well, and this is really fascinating because when you look at the natal chart, you're looking at the a circle in effect. Mm-hmm. Okay, and the circle depicts the longitude of the planets when you were born. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we're looking. So if, say, for example, Mercury's in the first house and Mars is in the third, we're looking at the longitude, the distance between them. But the planets move in wave formations. So really, when we look at the natal chart, it's like looking at the top of a cylinder, but without seeing the depth of the cylinder.
Ah, okay.
And the depth of the cylinder is what we call the declinations.
Right.
Because the declinations show you how high above, how far above or below the equator a planet was. So it gives you a 3D picture rather than a 2D picture.
Right.
And when we had a show that was brilliant with Mitchell Gibson. He's a psychiatrist who is also an astrologer.
Wow.
And when you get into studying declinations, you see even more, and declinations are brilliant for looking at exceptional talent, mental illness, criminal tendencies. because you see, you may look at a person's chart and find that their Saturn is not forming a direct aspect with another planet.
Right.
But then when you look at the declinations, you might find that they're all clustered together at the same declination.
Right. And they might be parallel or contra-parallel or something like that.
Yeah, and Saturn can destroy the whole cluster. But hey, I'm going off on
tangents
about astrology.
No, but you know what? What if you're not from this planet and you do a chart for that person such as myself? I mean, really, you could be all confused. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. But it's a great way of looking at.
I know it is, Steve.
It really is.
I think it's telling. I think it's telling that Steve lumped in outstanding, like extraordinary ability with criminality, with mental problems and mental disease, because that sort of acknowledges the possibility that all three of them lie along the same, or, you know, they're all very much related. Well, you know, that old saw.
So, well, that's kind of horrific.
Don't you think we're all mentally ill here?
The same continuum.
I mean, look what happened.
Everything's on a continuum, isn't it?
Right, it absolutely is. It absolutely is. So we can look at the sanitarium or the asylum and see, we can either see it as an institution filled with mentally ill people or potential geniuses. Either way you want to cut it. But it is amazing that in the natal chart it contains in a distilled form, in a symbolic form, and I can verify this looking at the natal charts of classic famous sexual psychopaths such as Ted Bundy, Jeffrey Dahmer, the fat guy who was a clown, what, Gacy?
Yeah, that's my favorite.
I mean, you know, there's no kind of prediction to look backwards on an astrological chart and pull things out, but still, it is enlightening. And looking at the charts of these miscreants, you can always pick up on a couple of different signatures, you know. Always
that would have been interesting to go into Ted Bundy's.
Yeah.
he was Sagittarius. You'd have expected.
Well, he was very sneaky, and you never really you couldn't tell. I mean, he hid it from everybody. He was very charming.
He was very good looking too. And you know, this is the thing.
No, he was weaselly looking.
Oh, I think. Well, you know what? I agree. But for most of the top people in the world, many. But you know what? If I would have seen him, I look beyond appearances. That's all I am good at, really.
Maureen, it was you and a whole bunch of other women who looked beyond appearances, and look what happened to them.
No, I'd run. I would just look.
He had those
eyes.
Guys,
let me tell you something really interesting, you psychic people. Guess whose chart I've got in front of me?
Uh-oh. Ted Bundy's?
Yeah. I'm working on a crime project. So I've been looking at Ted Bundy today, and his chart is fascinating. He has Saturn and Pluto to get clustered together in the 12th house, which is problematic,
to say the least.
To say the least, yeah. And then interestingly, when you look at declinations, it's very, very interesting, because he has a number of planets at what we call extreme declination, which is when they lose control. He's got a very unfortunate chart.
Yes, and if you look at his end of the matter, fourth house, it's just absolutely over-tenanted with planets. I mean, just a cramped, it's like a ghetto brownstone. It's just absolutely, there are like five planets in his end of the matter fourth house. And personally, I think that Ted Bundy's problems can be, and we're just focusing on Ted here, but I mean, I think it could be isolated to a number of factors. That awful, awful Saturn conjunction with Pluto in the 12th house is going to give all sorts of sexual kinks and troubles. And if you'll notice, though, that conjunction is making all sorts of all sorts of harmonious angles, harmonious aspects with other planets. And in this case, it's a perfect example of how sometimes a harmonious relationship between planets can actually be bad. But
well,
I think
anything, anything involving Saturn is
can be
negative.
Sure. But I think the problem with Ted Bundy was that he's a Sagittarius.
Brenda. I'm sorry.
You guys are going to have to stop us, because we'll be doing
Saturn's in Sagittarius.
Watch out, Brenda.
Yeah, but Brenda, okay. Saturn moves really slowly, so everyone born, everyone during a period of time would have that. It doesn't mean, it's really complex. So even if a person has Saturn conjunct Pluto in the 12th house, there's so much more to it because you have to look at all the declinations, and it's interesting. It's but Saturn forming aspects with any planet, if Saturn is discordant, particularly. A discordant Saturn or heavily discordant Saturn forming aspects to other planets destroys the other planets. It consumes them. So it's complex, but it's fascinating.
Yes, it is. And I think the problem actually comes not so much from Sagittarius, but from Sagittarius's ruler, Jupiter. Ted Bundy was a very Jupiterian man. He was downright jovial. That's where we get the word jovial from Jove.
Well, he was charming.
He was a law. He was going to be a lawyer. That's an extremely Jupiterian profession.
He was a psychopath.
Yeah, he's a typical
narcissistic psychopath.
No medication for that.
I'll have to respectfully disagree.
Pervert.
Technically, he was a sociopath.
He needed psychopath.
No, there's nothing wrong with his psyche. I'm going to go out on a limb here. You guys are probably going to throw stones at me virtually over the internet. But there was no, he can't. If he was a psychopath, he would have gotten he wouldn't have been executed. It would have been his lawyer would have jumped all over that. And he was not a psychopath. He was not he was not psychotic. He wasn't seeing he was a sociopath. He had his disease wasn't in his mind so much as it is his ability to view other people
That's
as
That's right.
Human
they started interchanging them about 10 years ago. It's like now it's called bipolar, not manic.
Right.
So the
exactly.
the bottom line, really, that is one of the other things they've done. You know, that's in other words, psychopath, sociopath. There's no help for either one.
No, and I know.
Yeah, and you know, you guys are really into him because now you go by calling him Ted.
Yeah,
I know, this is, you know, what is this? Okay, what is the deviant thing there? What's the deviant fascination with you guys and Ted Bundy?
What up with that?
Okay.
Because, you know, we want to be able to recognize some of these things in other people's charts. But see, the thing is, even if a normal person would have had some of these astrological signatures, likely they would not murder co-eds. There has to be, and this is what is so fascinating, there has to be a convergence of so many different thematically similar astrological signatures.
Okay, so
environment, you know, in which they
listen.
Brenda's got a really important point, which because you do see charts as bad as the worst chart I've ever seen. Even worse, they say that the worst chart is the Marquis de Sade. Okay, and James Holmes's chart is far worse. He makes the Marquis de Sade's chart look tolerable. But you do see, you can see a highly functioning, successful, good person with an exceptionally challenging chart.
Yep.
So it is also about the environment. It is also about the way they are or are not nurtured. And there are, it's not just about the charts, because you could have, two people may have the same chart, but their lives can play out very differently depending on the experiences they have and how they choose to work with the energies that they bring into the world. That said, there are a very small number of exceptionally rare formations that give a person a desire to kill that is almost irresistible.
So environmental can play a big part.
It does, and the relationships of the people around them. There are certain signs. If they don't get enough love, they become twisted.
That's right.
Well, let's also not forget that the planets continue. I mean, even though we like to think that, you know, it's the Steven story starring Steven and co-starring the rest of the world, you know, the planets were actually continuing to move after that momentous hour of my birth, you see. So in other words, even though Ted Bundy's chart looks like God blew his nose with it, the planets, right? The planets are going to continue to move. In other words, the progressions of his chart, the progressions of those planets are going to will often show us precisely how it unfolds, the promise in the chart unfolds.
You know what? Julie in the chat room has a question for you guys, and she's asking you guys this. If you do an astrological reading for someone and you find the declinations that you speak of, do you tell the person that you are doing the reading for about the negative aspects of this, or do you not open that window?
I do.
Yes,
but
I do
you,
as
but,
well.
But you counsel them. We've all got. We all have challenging aspects in our charts.
Mm-hmm. It's all in the way that you counsel it.
We all do, and somebody that's highly conscious understands themselves. The more we work on ourselves, or the more we know ourselves, the more we master ourselves or have the opportunity to master ourselves. So we all have challenging aspects in our charts, just as we all have fortunate aspects in our charts. It's how you choose to work with those aspects. So the strongest aspect is an opposition of two parts of you that oppose each other or pull away from each other. And the way to overcome that is to draw them together so that they become a powerful conjunction. So yes, you counsel people on, I mean, if you're doing a short reading, you have to address their question. You can't read the whole psyche or the whole life, but yes, we should address the negatives because we're supposed to be helping people to evolve so that they become happier, healthier, etc. But the other thing that I wanted to say about the mass murderers is you can calculate exactly when they would commit their crimes. Mm-hmm. Hermetic astrology enables you to calculate exactly when things occur.
Mm-hmm. It's too bad you couldn't stop it from happening, though.
Well, it is possible. I'm working on a crime prevention project, and it is focused on serial killers and mass murderers. The challenge with serial killers is they're killing over and over and over because they're inherently sick. Mm-hmm. Mass murderers tend to have far more harmonious charts, and they lose the plot at a point in time. And you can calculate the point in time, but the problem is unless you screen the entire population, you can only focus upon people that have already committed a crime. So therefore, you either screen the entire population of the nation, or you screen people who have committed a crime and are being released from jail in the hope that a serial killer, or in the hope that a mass murderer has committed a previous crime and therefore falls into that group of people that get scrutinized. Mm. But all of this is possible, and it is being looked at.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know that Tom Cruise did that movie with
Minority Report.
Yeah, that was cool. And the Impasse were the ones that was interesting. Well, you know, I'm going to say this because we come to. I tend to put this aside because the phone line's open, and I want to let people know. Sorry, Steve, and I didn't mean to interrupt you, but no. Too bad.
Yes, you did. I'm kidding.
Hey, I can do what I
That's
want.
That's right.
So we're going to be taking your calls and questions, and so you can either call in or ask your questions in the chat room. However, we do have to take the call-ins first due to their wait time. And the number to call in for your reading is 724-444-4851. And be aware that each call will be automatically placed on hold and will be answered in the order received. So you won't hear anybody, a person, but just if you hear you'll hear the show and just relax. And that means you're in a waiting, waiting out in space. And please be very clear and direct with your question. We can only take one question per person. This will allow us to take all your calls and do a good reading for you. So there you have it. And so I don't know if we – a call. For Steve from Florida.
A call for me from Florida. Okay. Who is calling from Florida?
Hello,
Florida.
Hi, this is Cookie.
Hi, Cookie. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. How can we help?
I just had a question about my business. I opened in 2009, and you know, I built the business up to where I need help, and there's some kind of block. Like, I cannot find good help. Every time I hire somebody, they end up being completely different than what I thought they were when I hired them. And
aha! And when someone applies, contact an astrologer or a psychic.
What's that?
Well, I see. Actually, I say that in jest, but contact us when you you're screening somebody. Get their birth details and contact us, and we can look at them astrologically, because you can, and also we can compare the person to you and tell you how that dynamic would function, whether you would work well together or whether there would be conflicts. If so, what that would be. So I say that as a joke, but actually it's very valid. Let's see.
Thought about that, and I have a cousin who wants to get into the business, and she's going to start with me in a week.
Yeah.
And she actually has the same exact birthday as me. So not the same year, but the same day. So I don't know that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Was it the
Our
same
personalities
year?
Are very
say?
Similar.
Did you say it was the same year or different year?
No, different year, but okay. Same month and day.
Yeah, there would be some similarities, but there would still be a lot of differences. But you can get a relationship report, a synastry report, it's called, that shows you the dynamics of the relationship. If you contact me on Psychic Access, I can give you that for free. I can just email it to you through the Psychic Access system, because we can contact clients that way. But the interesting thing I was going to say, you haven't had much luck in the past, and I feel as though in the business you have, the right person is female. I feel that the right connection is female, and I feel ultimately that there will be three females, you included obviously, but there will be three females collaborating in the business. I do also feel strongly that if you're taking on a member of the family, allow that person to prove themselves. You don't have to formally engage somebody and pay them straight away. If they're really passionate about your business, if they really want an opportunity to show how they can contribute, then have them volunteer for a period of time and see how it works out. I feel as though the situation will improve for you, and I feel as though it will work out. I do feel though that the business is not going to grow as quickly as you would like it to. I feel that it's going to be 4 years and then the business will really expand. So my guides are saying to you, you're at that point where you're developing a business. You've got it set up. You've got it delivering results. But it's that painful point at which we can't necessarily invest heavily in the business. So it's that in-between point. And so my guides are saying, be sure that you are managing the finances of it well, that you're not biting off more than you can chew. And also, look at this really creatively. You're a very creative person, and look for creative solutions. You don't have to have someone full time. You don't have to have one person. You can try out two people part time or on a volunteer basis. See which of them is best suited or is most committed. But be flexible about how you do this, and don't look at it as black and white. You have to hire one person full time, full contract in the normal way now. Take a very creative and flexible approach. You need to keep flexibility, because the business is still at this critical point when that flexibility is key. And I do feel, again, it would be 4 years. I feel as though it is, I'm drawn to July of next year. And I feel it's July next year. That's the time when you're really able to invest in full-time additional help. But you've got to choose the right person.
Right. And I'm just getting burned out because, you know, I'm doing all of the work. And so, you know, I'm working nights and weekends. And I feel like almost like giving up. And I've kind of given myself until the end of this year to, and if things don't get better, I thought about just getting a job somewhere. But I don't want to give up on my business.
I don't feel you should give up. I remember when I created a small business, and when everyone said it takes 2 years just to get started, I thought, oh, that's nonsense. And I did make the business profitable in just over a year, but getting the word out and really being able to expand does take at least 2 years, if not four. I don't feel that you should give up, but I feel as though you should give it a try with your cousin, but keep it very flexible. Make sure you explain that, you know, it's a business arrangement. You don't, I wouldn't fully hire your cousin. I'd test her out, but don't give up. You'll be okay. But I do feel the threshold for really expanding is 4 years, okay?
Okay. Thank you, Steve. What was the website that I could go to look up the charts?
Well, you need to contact us at psychicaccess.com.
Okay.
So contact me. My name's Steve. You could contact Stephen as well, because he's on the show, and he has the software that can run the report. So either of us can do that. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Steve. Good,
you're
good
welcome.
Job. And Brenda, you have a call from Massachusetts.
Hello, Massachusetts.
Hi, Brenda. It's Rose. How are you?
Hey, Rose. It's nice to hear from you. What's up, honey? What can I help you with?
Well, this guy was interested in. It seemed like things were coming back together. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, things went quiet again. And he would always take my calls. I'll return the call whenever I called, you know, right away. And the last two phone calls, he hasn't returned. But, you know, he's responded to a casual text.
Okay,
so
well,
I was wondering what was up with that, if this is his way of going away or what.
Let's take a peek here. Let's see here. You know, he's in his man cave, and this is because of finances and a work situation. I think that you can't take this person, you know, I wouldn't take it personally, because this is about him right now. It's not about you. He comes back, and you were getting close. You will continue to get closer. But one of the hidden things I see around him now, and he keeps us very close and doesn't let you know what's happening, is a financial and some sort of legal situation that's troubling him. The fact that, you know, he was able to respond to a text meant you pulled him out of his funk. I would be okay with this for the next week or so, and then I feel that the lines of communication will open up again with him, and it's going to be largely due to this thing lifting in his personal life, which has nothing to do with you. See what I mean? But it is related to his work. The interesting thing about this relationship is it's, you know, you've gone back and forth and back and forth with this guy, but each time you do get closer, there is more strength that's brought into this relationship. You're not seeing it. He's not really claiming it, but at some point he will. So I just feel it's just too soon to panic at this point. I think that you should just relax. And every time you do this, kind of back off, do your own thing. He comes back around again. I see communication next week, a little bit, smatterings here and there. And then after that, I see that he's back to his old self, because right now he's tormented by something. And it has to do with finance. It has to do with work. It might even have some legal things thrown into it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And our first date was a year ago, June 1st. Will he remember that or do anything about that, or should I just not even bring it up?
You know, it was a first date, and, you know, he could be so overwhelmed with all this stuff. I feel that, you know, when I look in this, it could become a happy time for you if you casually approach it like a friend and say, hey, June 1st is coming up. We met on, that was the day we met. How about doing something special? It's perfectly okay to do this. I see that he'll respond to that. He'll come over. I see him bringing some champagne, maybe some roses, some chocolate, this kind of stuff. He will be excited about that. And by that time, he's going to be out of his funk.
Oh, okay.
And it's important to remember too, Rose, that this relationship is, you know, this is a guy who's gun shy, okay? And this relationship is still, because it's only a year, is still new for him.
Okay.
All right, honey?
All right. Thank you so much for your
All
help.
Right. Hang in there. Bye.
All right. Bye.
That was a nice reading, Brenda. Thank you. We have another call for Stephen from Virginia, please.
Hello. How are you? How may I help you?
Hi, Stephen. Dee. How are you?
I'm fine. You said your name was Dee?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Very nice to meet you, Dee. How may I help you?
calling to find out that I just got laid off, trying to see exactly what you see as far as work.
Okay, let's do a forecast for your career, for your work situation. Let's just see what's sounds going to happen good. Over the next 3 months, okay?
Sounds good.
All right, bear with me while I shuffle and cut the tarot cards here, and we will have our answer. What can Dee expect over the next 3 months to 12 weeks? Cut number 2, and final cut. What may Dee expect over the next 3 months from her career? This will take us going into the summertime. Okay. Now I'm going to lay out the cards. 1, 2, 3. Let's see what we have here. So for the period of time corresponding from now until about the middle of June, that's going to be dominated by Major Arcanum card number 4, which is actually referred to as the Sovereign or the Emperor in some decks. And in my tarot system, it's attributed to the sign of Scorpio. Now, as far as your work situation is concerned, I consider this to be a boon, in the sense that the Emperor, the Sovereign, is all about authority and controlling oneself. So I would expect that you would come up against an authority figure over the next month. Quite possibly the Sovereign relates to a king. So translate for that an interviewer, do you see? The Sovereign refers both to yourself as having increased control, and also could quite possibly refer to authority figures in the workplace whom you might be petitioning for work. Again, the interviewer. The Sovereign, the king, this king figure, he represents the thought of the magician. He represents the ability to be magnetic, reception, to suck things into yourself. That's shown by the High Priestess. Okay, and this lets me know that you're going to be much more attractive to employers over this next month. So you want to get those resumes out there. Okay, you're going to have that receptive, magnetic ability. Okay, and the Sovereign is also about action, acting on the things that are sucked into your world through the magnetism that you will have, okay? And this card is also a glyph of manifestation, realization. So this month actually seems to be – it would not surprise me one bit. It would not surprise me at all if you were to at least secure an interview and, if not, finally have a job. By the time the middle of June rolls around, you'll probably be taking – concrete strides. Now, getting into June and July, the next 30-day period, we have a court card here, and it's reversed. Okay, it's the Queen of Swords, the Queen of Spades, and because she's reversed, it's going to refer to a male. Okay, and actually, it's going to refer to a male who is either a Virgo or more likely is going to show a lot of Virgoan traits. It's going to be very much. It's going to behave like a Virgo, and you know, since Virgo is the quintessential sign of labor and devotion and service, then this person is also going to be quite important to you in the workplace. I'm thinking of him as being more like a trainer, do you see, a mentor, someone who's very process-oriented, someone who's analytical, do you see, nitpicky. This person is going to, precisely because this person is going to notice all of your flaws, that's why I tend to think of him as a trainer. He's obviously looking to find your flaws. Now, going towards the end of the summer, we have the Five of Swords, and this is reversed. So it's a great card, whether regardless of its orientation, whether it's upside down or reversed. In most tarot systems, the number 5 is a bit problematic because it disrupts the stability of the 4. But in my tarot system, the number 5 is actually a number of extreme good fortune because it's attributed to the planet Jupiter. You see, it's attributed to an expansion of good luck. And this particular card, the 5 of Swords, represents a narrow escape from a bad situation. Okay, unemployment unsatisfactory employment, that's a bad situation. This card showing up, the Five of Swords, sort of lets me know that by the end of the summer, you're going to be reflecting on this time period and thinking, oh, wow, you know, I really squeaked through that, you know, by the skin of my teeth. Now, the card is reversed, okay? So that sort of lets me know that there'll be an atmosphere, an energy of a Mercury in bad aspect, in difficult aspect. So, for example, there might be the energy of Mercury square Venus, which could translate into communication problems at the workplace that you'll have. The fact that you'll get a job seems to almost go without saying. To answer your question, I would completely expect you to be working by midsummer at the latest. This month seems to be the big month where concrete possibilities will happen. Do you have any questions so far while I'm doing this?
So you're saying that the Five of Swords show that there would be some issues at the job, with forced communication? Is that what you're saying?
Right. The problem could be with communications because the planetary energy of Mercury is vital to this card. The Five of Swords. It refers to the Virgo part of the sign of Taurus. Okay, and so this is what brings Mercury into the picture. So communication is going to be a problem. Also, let's not forget that we have the Conqueror card here, and he goes with Scorpio. So Scorpio's ruler is Pluto and Mars. So this could also be a problem as well. Plutonian and Mars problems in terms of dealing with your own or other people's tempers. Pluto will bring power struggles. It could be that you intimidate somebody in the workplace. You know how that is when you're the new person on the job. You know the sorts of what you're laughing.
I'm laughing because it's like, yeah. Okay, that's all I need.
Well, don't worry. It's not going to be anything that you can't handle. You know, you've had new jobs before. You know how it is. There's always going to be that one person who has to test you out, right? There's always that one person whose toes you seem to step on. You're not going to be able to help it. It's not going to be your fault. I tend to see it as a very good sign. Let's not forget that the card in general is an extremely fortunate card.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Make a long story short. By the time August rolls around, you'll be busy working. I'm almost positive of that.
Okay. Well, thank you, Stephen. Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you. Good read. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Dee. I thank you for calling, and thank you for visiting us at Psychic Access.
All righty. Cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Ciao.
Ciao. I like that. You know, Stephen, I think that's the first time I've heard you read. I like it.
Really? Oh.
I like it.
I'm glad to see you.
Yeah. I don't think we did readings last. Yeah, we had some problems with some of the...
We did have one. I had a reading, and then we had a problem with the... So it turned into like a 15-minute saga.
I have some timers, something going on in my head.
Which I enjoyed it because I didn't have to keep it... I didn't have to worry about how much time we had, you know? I just sort of took the ball and ran with it, and it was great.
Well, maybe I wasn't paying attention. I don't know what even yesterday was, but in fact, I was even thinking about how... I took my mother to the doctor's unexpectedly. She's having some problems yesterday. And the next thing I know, today I'm thinking, she told me this fantastic story I wanted to share with you guys. And for the love of God, I don't remember what it was. I mean, it was like a really weird, out there, trippy thing. And Mom, if you're out there listening, would you please call me? And hopefully you'll remember, because it was something – I don't even remember the subject matter, but I remember there was something. I go, oh, I'm going to look that up. It was out there, outrageously strange.
Hey, whatever. Nothing wrong with that.
So anyway, we're just going to chat for a while about me and Brenda now.
You know what? That sounds lovely. Lovely.
You know, Steve, I like your reading is because Brenda and I both are tarot people, and I know Steve is as well, but I think Brenda and I Are we called old school or something?
We're old school because we are old school. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I would never dare go that far.
Yeah, your mother raised you well. Thank you.
But you know what? We still look fabulous, Stephen. So there.
That was going to be my next statement. We truly are psychic. I was going to say, I am so fortunate to be working with two complete hotties. God knows.
Boy, you are just so smart, aren't you? You're just smart. Well,
he's picking up on it quickly, isn't he, Maureen?
He certainly is.
I didn't fall off the hay truck yesterday. I jumped off of it.
So. You know, well, if anybody is not in the chat room and they'd like to call, now's the time to do so, because you will get through, and it's 724-444-4851. Or if you'd like to visit us at psychicaccess.com, we are all over there as well, and others, very good people. And let's see, Steve, are you there?
Yes,
no, he's looking over Ted's. I'm joking.
No. listening in. I'm still here, obviously.
No, I know. No, Adolf Hitler, maybe. I'm just kidding. No, I don't like him.
Terrible charge.
Mean man. Anyway.
He was a Taurus, too.
Strangely enough, he was.
Yeah. Oh, Becca says Stephen is charming. Becca says that.
Oh, Becca, thank you very much. You're not so bad yourself, Becca. How about that? You're pretty nice, too.
You know, I do want to bring up to everybody, too, that Bobby will not be joining us, not because he doesn't want to, but he's getting quite into his acting career, which is really, we're happy about that, because you know that's a very difficult. So we just want to let everybody to know, and we're not going to, you know, put him to rest. But yeah, Bobby's doing well, and we just want to bring that up to everybody. If they remember who Bobby is, I'm joking, Bobby, if you hear this show, you know I'm joking around. So if there's anybody that has a question in the chat room, that's fine, because we're able to do that as of right now. May change in a moment, but okay, so what about anything else? Oh, yeah, my mom. I already told my mom, please call me and help me remember what I was supposed to. I mean, Brenda, do you go through that? I mean, really, really, I never went through that like that.
What do you
mean?
Whenever
my mom, I dawned on me, there was something really weird, this story. She's always wanting to tell me these stupid stories, like in the news. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I don't even remember the subject of it. I remember, what was that in my head? I mean, my mind is just like,
oh, sure. I have to walk into the pantry, and once you do that, you'll remember.
You know, and I went.
Well, you have to walk into your closet, look at your shoes. And if you do that, then you remember.
I bet you're right. The shoes. And you know, also, everybody, I did want to bring this up about the when we were talking to the guest about grounding and what the best way, because all of us, I think I can speak for all of us. Our job is difficult, and you've got to be able to handle it. And you know, somebody the other day I was talking to, and it works. You can, it works for me because I've got so much energy going on. You can put your finger onto a middle screw and a outlet, and it will not stick your finger into it, but you know the screw, and you put your finger there, and it will ground you. It will. You can feel it. Have you guys ever?
Be careful, Maureen. Now, Dr. Oz had on his show this little trick where you can microwave some rice and you know use it to soothe your bunions. And next thing you know, he got sued because somebody got third degree burns trying to put the rice on. You know?
I'm not telling anybody to do this. I'm saying I know that. I didn't know about that. Well, just like McDonald's coffee.
Yeah, exactly. Common sense.
You know, they win $1 million, for God's sake. But for me, I mean, it's because, you know, there's so much energy I can, because empathically, it doesn't belong to me. Get it away. But it's somebody was talking about it, and, you know, really, it's interesting. I did it. I kept my finger, and I could feel it. I could feel myself ground. Nobody is to do this at home, okay? I'm not responsible for nothing.
I'll tell you what, I definitely need some grounding techniques, because the behaviors of Mercury and Uranus in my natal chart have rendered me to be a jittery, nerve-wracked.
Did you say Uranus? Did you say Uranus?
Uranus. I took special pains, despite the fact that this show was supposed to be about psychic sexology. I took special pains to pronounce it the nice way, Uranus.
Pain? Still... Okay, then what? No.
Well, Julie has a question in the chat room, and I'll answer her question because I'm next. Julie says, and it goes like this: I would like to know if my son is going to meet someone soon, and if that person of interest is someone he knows now, or if it is going to be someone new. Okay, Julie, that's great. And you want to know if that person comes from a very wealthy family as well? Can take care of your son for the rest of his life? No, I added that part. I'm just joking about that. Okay. Julie's such a great mom. She's asking a question. Well, she's asking, it's okay, I'm doing this, but normally I'd say, you know, you have to ask your son permission to ask a question, but she's asking in a motherly way. You know, this is what I'm seeing, Julie, and it appears to me there's someone around him already that looks like it's unconventional, and also I feel somebody he knows of, but it's an unconventional relationship, and it could be, she looks fantastic, she looks like she has a lot of vision, she's very sensitive, and she has a real calming feeling to her, but she comes from a family that has some havoc. Your son looks like, I don't know, it looks like there was something about the recent springtime. There was a reconnection of some sort, and it looks like going into August, a lot of happiness, but she comes from a family that has some stuff. Father figure, you know, commotion, but she's lovely. Your son, they could be friends, but also that's always the best way to connect. But also she has, like I said, her eyes are really beautiful and she loves the water. It looks like to me, even the rain, everything to do with water, water, water. But he looks like he's going to be very happy about right around August, extremely happy, like, you know, as a natural togetherness. But I feel it's someone he knows of. I hope that helps. Well, I'll find out later. Oh, Steve, we have a call from Washington State for you too, by the way.
Great. Okay, who's calling from Washington State?
Hi, Steve. This is Becca.
Hi, Becca. How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
Good, good. Great. Thank you. How can I help, Becca?
Okay. My question is, after the past 10 years, or actually it's been 11 years now, when I divorced my first ex-husband, my oldest son became very distant to the point where he'd only talk to me once or twice a year. But it wasn't talking, it was screaming and abusive and rage. He did 2 years ago warm up a little bit, and we had about a week that we had actually talked, and now he's back to his old self again. So I'm wondering if you can see when that might turn around, where he might actually reach out back to me again. I text him, I call him, you know, I do everything, and I always keep in contact, but he doesn't reply. So do you happen to see when he might turn that around and get back with his mama?
Let's see. I feel as though one of the main issues with him, actually, is that he doesn't – I don't feel as though he's found his way career-wise, professionally, or financially. I feel as though part of his struggle is associated with the feeling that he hasn't found his role in the world. He hasn't discovered his career, and he doesn't feel good about that. Does that make sense to you?
It does. He actually just moved to California a year ago, and he said he likes what he does, but I kind of felt that there was something missing, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that makes sense.
I feel that he will warm up. I know this is not necessarily as soon as you might like it to be, but I'm drawn to August of next year. I feel that he's going to grow up a lot in the next 12, 13, 14 months. And I feel that he needs to stand on his own two feet and experience some things in life, and I feel that it will give him perspective. I don't feel that he's going to have an easy time financially in that time, and I also feel that he's going to realize that he's severed relationships with quite a number of people, and it's not a good way to live his life. So I feel that you can expect him to be much warmer, much more in contact by August of next year. but it does seem pretty clear that he needs some time to get himself on track before he realizes that he's wasting an opportunity here to be close to his mom.
Okay. And that's fine. You know, I mean, even if I had to wait another 10 years, that'd be fine. And I just wanted to, I had the feeling that I've apologized to him. We've talked about the past. I've begged his forgiveness. I've done everything a mother could do.
Well, what did you do wrong in your mind?
So that makes sense. I'm sorry?
What did you do that was wrong in your mind?
Oh, I kind of felt, because when I left their dad, when I divorced, we lived in Alaska. And I took the kids and I came down here to Washington where my family was. And then I called the ex and I said, I'm not coming back. So then there was a bit of a battle, and he took the boys, took them back to Alaska, and then I kept our daughter here in Washington. So the family was split up.
Okay.
There are people spreading rumors that I was having affairs and all this. Well, I was still abused. I never left the house. I didn't do anything, you know. So I don't know. I have no idea. His father is still very angry, you know, hatred and rage, and I don't know what he's even said to
and
him.
And he'll realize in time, he'll realize that life happens.
Yeah.
We make choices. You needed to get out of there for sure. And he'll come around in time. He's just growing up. He's still young, isn't he?
Yeah, he's 25.
Yeah. I feel as though he acts more like 21, 22, to be honest. But you'll see in a couple of years, he'll really have grown up a lot. But I do feel that by August of next year, he will have settled down and there'll be much more contact. Okay.
Good. That's great, because maybe by then I'll have settled down too. So that would be perfect.
Okay. Well, wish you lots of luck.
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good luck.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's great. See, a lot of people are laughing this evening, not at us. I don't know why. It's like a nicety. It's a nicety, I think. Have you noticed that, you guys? It's kind of like people are jovial, or they're laughing at us. They're laughing at us.
No, well, it's better to be laughing than crying.
I don't know. They're both two emotions that should be respected.
Again, there's not too much difference between the two, just like there's not much difference between extraordinary talent and mental disease.
That's a grim thought.
You know what? I'm an advocate for NAMI. It's the National Organization for Mental Illness, to not be putting it down. What are you saying, Stephen? What?
there's definite linkage between striking originality and artistic talent, in addition to other forms of talent, and mental pathology, mental disease.
There's nothing wrong, but there's been a stigma on mental disease for so long.
Yes, there has been.
And it's got to stop, I tell you.
A stigma against the truly creative people. Look at certain figures like Oscar Wilde, who was thrown in prison. Look at Alan Turing, one of the fathers of computer science, who was also, he was forcibly sterilized by his government. Look at Vincent van Gogh. History is rife with geniuses that, you know, have really borne the brunt of society's wrath. And I think this is an informal theory, mind you. I'm definitely not a sociologist, but I think it's because the genius bothers society about as much as the person who, you know, is sitting on the street corner laughing hysterically and pointing at nothing, you know. Okay, the crazy person.
Except for the crackhead. Forgot
about
that.
What about the crazy?
Yeah.
How about crazy good? How about crazy good?
If you ask me, it's all crazy good.
Yeah, it's crazy good. I love him.
I've always been a little jealous of schizophrenics and people who hallucinate, because I'm like, man, they're more imaginative than I am. I wish I could imagine like that. You know, they're hallucinating. So I'm definitely not knocking it. I'm definitely not knocking insanity at all. I mean, I don't see. And there are a lot of people who are insane.
You are insane.
I'm a functional.
I think they should all be locked up in the booby hatch. No, I'm kidding.
The booby hatch. I would not be. Well, I mean, depends on kind of.
Let's lock them up.
That's a good question, what to do with the insane.
Well, you know, let me tell you, that's what they, you know, if they did with the insane, they were called the what we're doing. That's what they used to do with them. They give them lobotomies. So all of us right now laughing about this, you know,
lobotomy back
in the 30s, in the 30s, they would have taken our heads and put them where they shouldn't go.
They should check the lobotomy and bring it back because it would help the bipolars.
Yeah. Okay. But people that are sensitive were being, we're being lobotomized.
Like Francis Farmer, did you ever see
that? Yes, of course I know about Francis.
It evens you out. The guy in the movie goes, lobotomy gets them home.
Yeah, but you know what? They were a lot of times were sensitive people that were like just sensitive beings as ourselves, as we all are, but also for crying out loud. I like that word lately. Like someone
for
else.
Crying out loud. And that's
or holy smoke. Or holy, holy smoke. Holy cow. My father used to say, holy cow. And I found this. At the 99 cent store, they had this blue, like a Windex called Holy Cow. Oh, now I'm going to another subject. Anyway, we've come to the part of the show, that we're going to be saying goodbye. Brenda. Yeah, Steve, you'll be back. Yeah. Brenda, your show's next week. What can we expect from you next week?
Well, we're going to be talking to Amethyst Rain, and we're going to be talking about tarot for grown-ups.
Does that pertain to me and you?
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, it's a real, like, straightforward, approach to tarot. And I think it's going to be interesting. She's a very interesting person. She's a healer and an occultist, and it's going to be really interesting. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm interested. I can't wait for it. I love the tarot.
No, you don't. You just pretend you do.
I'm a poser. But I am a grown-up. I am an adult, so I got 50% of that equation. And so tarot for adults would be perfect.
Steven, you're funny.
Tarot for grown-ups.
For grown-ups, I apologize. Not adults, but grown-ups.
Yeah,
to grow up, young man.
You put your big girl, as a grown-up, you got to put your big girl panties on, your big girl panties, and you can be grown-up, okay?
Hey, I should have been a grown-up a long time ago. And numerically, I should be a grown-up,
Yeah, well, maybe in another lifetime.
Perhaps.
Anyway, I would like to say again, happy anniversary, Doug. Happy anniversary,
happy
Doug.
Happy anniversary to the show.
To the show. And I do want to just point out that, I am still, I was alongside at that time with him. And this is quite an event that we put on, and we got to a really good place where it's at now. But we were doing it months and months prior to May, I think 10th it was. 2010. Anyway, so well done, Doug, and everybody else on the show. Well done. I don't know about myself. I'm just kind of, you guys are just,
well done, Mark.
Because you're never getting me off of this show. Too bad. It's like I grandfathered myself in, clocked in. I'd like to say thank you for everybody for joining us in the chat room and come visit us.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, everyone.
Good night. Goodbye.
Good night. Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Steven? I mean,
good
Steve.
Night. Yes, good night. Look forward to next week.
Hello, my name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic Access, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.